Hi, I'm Emma.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jess.
There's lots of things we don't understand.
And things people don't want to discuss.
But we do, and we hope you do too.
So, if no one's going to talk about it,
let's talk about it. This week, we're going to be talking about the confidence gap.
Women feel like they really have to justify what they're talking about and make themselves palatable.
You feel like you have to be exceptional.
What a different world it would be if men and women grew up equal.
He sent his mum in.
No.
Is there a gap in confidence between men and women?
Hey guys, welcome to the first episode of Let's Talk About It.
Hi. This is exciting.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Good. We thought we'd just give you a little bit of background of like who we are, why we're here, and what we're doing. So I'm Emma.
I'm Jess.
I'm Sarah. We all met doing radio.
Yeah.
I'm in my second year. I'm studying theatre.
I'm also in my second year studying theatre.
I'm doing my best.
Don't worry about it, sweetheart.
We were chatting earlier about why we want to do this podcast and why it's important to us. So if you want to...
Yeah, we all realised we came together and we sort of have shared experiences and we've noticed things, you know, sort of being in the broadcast journalism, sort of, not industry, but, you know, student version of industry. Stuff that's difficult to talk about and shoved under the rug, and we just want to make taboo not taboo, so we're going to talk about it. Yeah.
We're going to talk about it, and what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about the confidence gap.
So, to put it simply, the confidence gap is the gap between a person's ability and their perceived confidence in that ability, and it's usually more common in women.
Basically, men have unnecessary confidence.
I feel like, right, when you say this statement, and I feel like this is a statement that women respond to, like, yeah, I get you. But every time I say it to someone that's male, they go like, what do you mean?
I'm not confident, yeah.
Say it with so much confidence.
It's not as harsh as it's intended to mean. It just kind of refers to what you were sort of talking about, this kind of thing where men don't second guess themselves as much as women in like day-to-day conversation. And this is especially relevant when it comes to kind of like confidence in the workplace and in school environments and in those kind of professional environments where it hinders women in speaking up and progressing.
It's like, have you ever been in a seminar and you want to say something but there's men all around you and so you can't say anything, or you've been in a meeting and it's two boys and two girls to put it like that, and all the boys are doing all the talking and you're sort of like, when is it my turn? And you try and say something and then you crack a joke and then the boy hears it and says it louder and it's like, right, I'm off.
Right.
That's it.
Right, I'm done.
I'm not valued here. Yeah. Never mind.
Or if you're Jess, you're literally being talked over.
Oh no. Oh my god. Right, so every single like networking event or meeting I've ever been in, I am a short girly, and I, you know, that's fine, I accept that. But in all of these meetings, when there's loads of men around and I'm one of the only women, I'll also be the shortest in the room, and they literally talk over my head about all these things. And it's, even if they don't mean it, it feels wrong.
Horrible.
Yeah. It's really horrible. Yeah.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
I'm speaking.
So as much as it is like a social thing of just like men speaking over women and them not kind of second guessing themselves, it kind of, I guess, trickles down or then affects like men apply for more jobs than women just because they assume that they're more like, it's fine if they don't meet the requirements. Mm-hmm. Or they ask for promotions when women kind of wouldn't dare, and it kind of expands itself to like, a women like are perceived differently to men if they ask for those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. And this is a research thing, so there is a stat that does the rounds every once in a while that says that men will apply for a job when they only meet 60% of the qualifications for that job, whereas women will wait until they meet 100% of the qualifications. And there's a lot of argument as to where like that problem lies, and some people are like, women just need to be more confident, and then people are like, well, is it an issue with the system or the way women are raised and treated? And then it's like, oh, is it just because like no one understands how the job market works, you don't actually have to be qualified, or should you? I don't know.
Another I'm done. Another statistic on this topic, so as well as men applying when they meet 60% when women apply for jobs when they have 100%. There are reasons for this that have been kind of surveyed, and 15% of women will indicate that they follow guidelines, and so when they do and don't apply, when only 8% of men indicate that. So they break the rules.
Liars.
Liars.
As well, it's because we grew up, like growing up, I was reading this thing for our theatre course. Ooh. And I was doing feminist theatre, so I'm just going to refer to the same thing that probably
yeah, big slay.
But it's like growing up, it's almost like we're conditioned to grow up and it's like, oh, like, look pretty and be nice and, like, don't sit with your legs wide open because that's not ladylike and stuff like that. Whereas boys would be like, oh, big strong boy to go and carry a chair, or like, oh, you have to be like at this powerful sort of figure. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, there's a lot of debate around this as to whether or not it's really a thing. But I think the reason we all came together and were like, we want to, I'm going to say let's talk about it so many times and it's going to be really angry.
Sorry,
but
guys.
Like, we're going to talk. Okay, right. The reason we wanted to talk about this in particular, because very, very quickly we all realised that this was something we really felt. And like we said, we're all sort of students, or I've very recently graduated. So we've all experienced this throughout the education system and now in the early job market. We've all had very similar experiences. I found, when I think about it to myself, I'm always like, am I just like not good enough, or am I just like not confident enough, or do I not, you know, have things to say, am I not creative, am I not clever, which is ridiculous because I've got the same qualifications as a lot of the men in the room. But then you talk to other women and they all say the same thing.
Yeah, and clearly we have a lot to say. We've picked up microphones for a reason. But yeah, one of the experiences that we all kind of had in common was how we conduct ourselves on email.
Oh, yeah.
The exclamation points don't stop. We try and like soften everything that we say with like a, if that's okay with you, or whenever you're ready, or just exclamation
points.
Like, I'm so excited. Oh, yeah, just checking.
Just checking. Just dropping a message.
Men don't do that.
No.
I think when I receive an email that is not from a woman, I'm like, have I annoyed this person? Yeah. Have I done something wrong? Because it just seems so cold. But I think men don't feel, well, let's not speak for men. Women feel like they really have to justify what they're talking about and make themselves palatable to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I don't think men have that same issue. And I think email is just one thing that you can like very clearly see it in.
I can't explain how it came to be or how it came about or if it's like a shared experience, but I just get the feeling that to be successful in any field as a woman, you feel like you have to be exceptional. Every idea you have has to be like groundbreaking. Every thing you do has to be perfect. Every, you know, thing you say has to be really well thought through. And you have to have this amazing personality. I feel like I'm reciting, we all saw the Barbie movie. That speech that America Ferrera did. It's completely true.
You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean.
You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids all the damn time. You have to be a career woman, but also always be looking out for other people. You have to answer for men's bad behavior, which is insane, but if you point that out, you're accused of complaining.
Yeah, and you have to be careful with sometimes the way you're perceived, because you don't want to be perceived as, you know, a woman in power. You could do the same thing as, say, a man in power, but they would be perceived as bossy rather than just powerful. Or, you know, it's, why do we have to be the same but be described so differently negatively?
Yeah, if I went, like, even from primary school, if I was, you know, we were playing a game and I was trying to explain the rules, or like people clearly just weren't listening to someone and I would try and get people to listen, people would turn around and call me bossy. Even teachers, female teachers, would turn around and call me bossy. And that kind of, it does set like something off in your brain as a child that you're like, oh, I just thought I was like helping out, or like doing something right. I was making something happen and I got called bossy. But if boys make something happen, they're assertive or they're a leader. And yeah, I think it's a little scary that it starts from that young. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's probably where it comes from. And I think that's why so many women now going into the workplace are all kind of having these conversations with each other, because it's not something you think about until you get to there, when you're kind of aware of your surroundings and aware of what you say and everything you go on. Because in it is primary school. The second you get there, then it's all the like, all strong boys and like, oh, I always found I was very confident as a child. I cracked the jokes. I wanted people to laugh at me. It's what I do on radio now, but like it was what I did in on the mat in primary school. I would say the same things as like same type of jokes as the boys, and they'd be like, oh, they're like very charismatic, young, and even if they messed about or were silly, it's like, oh, they're like, you know, they were like
boys.
They had like a soft spot for these boys that would kind of mess about. The second I did, it's like, you're bossy,
you,
or like, you need to, you know, focus, you need to calm down, because my value came a lot more from like my performance in school than it did for the boys. It's like their character matter more than minded.
Yeah. If they could run fast in the playground, they were fine.
If they were funny, they're fine.
Yeah.
But also, I will never let this go. Okay, this is the biggest vendetta I've ever had against a person in my life. Will you ever hear this? I swear to God.
Full naming.
I'm still upset about this. We did a project in year five, right?
Name and shame.
D&T, year five, design and tech.
You called it D&T?
D&T.
Yeah.
You
called it DT.
Oh.
Yeah,
anyway,
DT,
DT whatever. Anyway. Yeah, we got told to design like a bridge out of like what's that, corrugated plastic?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Hot glue gun, and it was all very big and important because you know you get to use the glue gun. Now I was annoying as a child, but I consider this annoying. I'm even saying this now, and I'm punching myself. I wasn't annoying. I just had big ideas all the time. So I remember once in year three, they were like, make a paper chair, and I was like, I'm gonna make a spinny chair because that's my favorite chair. And they were like, you can't make a spinny chair out of paper, and I was like, I'm gonna, and I did. I used a lot of sellotape, but
good
I did
for
it.
You.
Thank you.
That's
but I was perceived as annoying.
Just because you want to go above and beyond.
And I did it again
women
in year five.
Engineering,
women
you know?
In engineering. Did it again in year five. We had to make this bridge, and I got partnered up with Will P because he used to mess about, and I used to. I was
I
like
hated
the,
when that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Straight and narrow.
You sat next to all the annoying boys.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, we start designing this
I'm not
bridge.
Your mum.
He does not help me at all designing this bridge. And I design a drawbridge, a working drawbridge, using like cotton, you know, those little cotton reels and thread. So it actually pulled up. I did bunting across everything. It was proper, and he helped me, not at all. He got his glue gun responsibility revoked from him because he messed about. So he wasn't even allowed to touch the materials. I did the whole thing, built the whole thing, got no credit for it, got no thanks for it. Then I was like, okay, because I built this, and it was my design, my idea, and I built it, can I take this home? And my teacher was like, no, because it was a group project, so it stays at school. And I was like, this feels like it's not relevant, but it's relevant to me. And then he left it at the school. Over summer, he sent his mum in.
No. Did he steal your project?
So he didn't stay at my school for year six. He went to a secondary school that started at year six. So over summer, I came back after summer and I was like, ha, I get the last laugh. He's not here. I'm going to take it home. I go, Miss, where's my drawbridge? And she goes, oh, Mrs. came in over summer and took it home for Will.
Oh, I would be banging on his front door.
And I will never...
I understand why this is still a thing.
Yeah.
I would never let it go.
I would never let it go. That's my Roman Empire for you now. Like, every time I look at you, I'm going to be like, she never got her drawbridge.
I think about it daily. I think that was formative for my confidence and ability. Because, like, I mean, the point that we're going back to is the way that you're spoken to differently as children. Mm. And it's that thing of, if I was messing about enough to get my glue gun rights revoked, end of my career at primary school, it would have been like, what's wrong with you then? You know, let's focus. Let's focus up. You're being bossy. You're being silly.
Yeah.
You're being disruptive. But because it was him and he was kind of funny, it's like, oh, he's, you know, he's funny. He messes about, but, you know, silly boy.
And then he's probably carried, this has probably like carried him on through life that he's like, well, I can slack off a bit or mess about a bit and people are still going to kind of give me what I want.
Which is where, he gets the bridge.
Yeah. Exactly. Which is where the confidence comes from to be like, you know what? I haven't met all the requirements for this job. I'm going to apply anyway because I can kind of not do everything and people will still give me what I want.
Yeah.
When you went above and beyond, you made the whole thing by yourself. You designed it by yourself and you still don't get it in the end. So, of course, you feel like you have to go 120% to even... see the drawbridge in your house. Do you know what I mean?
I miss that drawbridge so much. I was so unbelievably proud of that. That killed my passion for engineering. You lost a woman in STEM right there and then.
Hearing this, I was like, sorry.
He's one of the boys that's going to end up at like one of those Russell Group unis and then never does, goes to his degree, just goes out every night.
We're putting this guy on blast. Somehow, we know nothing about him in his life.
Me
now.
And Sarah have never met this
somehow
man before.
He's going to get like $100,000 a year. Like job, and he's got your bridge. That's why
he's got my bridge. It's because he's got my bridge. I found because obviously there's been a lot of stats recently that are like girls and women perform a lot better in school nowadays. They get higher grades. There's more women in uni, and that's then good. People use that to say like,
it doesn't exist.
What's the problem? You know, you're clever. You know, you're proving it. And I'm like, yeah, we are. So why do so many women feel not enough? Feel anxious about not feeling enough, and then don't go and reach for those opportunities, like in that thing about women not applying for jobs they're not fully qualified for. Why don't they, if they're just as clever, if not more?
Yeah. Well, I guess it sort of stems from, you know, your growing up can form you a lot, can shape you. You could have the same skills as somebody else who would just not even have the confidence, just feel as though they could go for something that maybe, like, someone else wouldn't think they could. And it's just... I forgot what my point was, but it's like, I don't know, I feel like it is the growing up thing that shapes you. And obviously some people use that as maybe building up the confidence to go somewhere and do something with it. And other people will just, that will always hold them back. And I don't think that's the fault of said woman who's going for a job. I think that's society's problem.
I also think it's like a thing of if girls perform well in school, in primary school, you get academic praise, mm-hmm. you get academic validation. Yeah. So then you go to secondary school and you're like, okay, this is harder, so I'm going to work harder. And you carry on being like achieving well, or at least working really, really hard at it. And you still get academic validation. And then this sounds bad, but it kind of, women will then kind of put, or at least personally, I mean, I shouldn't say women, I personally then put a lot of my value in the academic validation that I was receiving. So then when I come to university and I go from being like big fish, good grades in small pond, to small fish in big pond, it, like, as I'm working then even harder at university to try and get this academic validation, but that only works until you graduate. And then I don't know if that maybe stops women from applying for these jobs that maybe they would get, because that rejection that you'll potentially face potentially is maybe too great in our minds to like make us want to take that risk. I don't know. I haven't got to that point yet. Jess, do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't know. There's no, like, definitive answer, but I do think there is a theme that I'm gradually uncovering myself. We're all sort of figuring it out because, you don't really clock when you're a teenager because you're too worried about yourself, which is fair enough for all genders. But I do think, I think I said it earlier, and that's what you've kind of touched on now, that kind of thing where men are more... generally, this is sort of a very generalisation, their worth is more assessed on their character, on their confidence, on their humour, on their, you know...
people skills,
people
in general.
People skills, perceived strength. And, you know, that causes a lot of problems for men. That's a whole other topic as well. That's not to say that men don't struggle with self-confidence and body image issues and all that kind of thing. But then I think for girls, I've known so many, nearly all of the women I've known growing up, school becomes... everything. Because you feel like you have to prove that you're clever. You can't just be clever, because you can't be witty in your words. You have to prove it on paper. So you prove it on paper, but then you're not good with people. And then it's like, oh, now I need to be good with people. So now I need to be good with people as well. But then when you're good with people, people assume you're dumb. So it's kind of like this, I think we waste so much energy proving on paper that we deserve to have the space that we didn't ask for anyway and have every right to take. Whereas men, on average, generally, I don't see them putting that energy in as much or worrying about that as much.
What a different world it would be if men and women grew up equal. I also think people are like, oh, we're fine now. We've done that feminism thing. We've done the equality.
I get this every...
we're all equal. I'm like, yeah, but we're not though, are they?
Every year on International Women's Day, I wake up and I'm like, do we do this? And then I go into the world and I'm like, no.
Yeah, we do.
You know, the most searched thing on International Women's Day is, when's International Men's Day?
And there literally is one.
Yeah, there is one, but they don't care about it.
And they never celebrate it.
Yeah, going back to like... sorry, jumping back. Feeling like we have to be excelling in everything. So I have a friend who's doing engineering at Cambridge University. So very well done to her.
Yeah.
Again, very male-dominated space. And the way that she talks about it, she does everything. So she excels at her studies. She works alongside. She does rowing at 5 a.m. like every day. She also goes out on nights out with friends. She keeps up her social life. She is so funny, one of the funniest people that I know. She's amazing. And the way that she talks about the men on her course, all they do, all they care about, all they think about is engineering, which in one aspect, I'm sure they are absolutely excelling in like their chosen subject. Amazing. But life skills wise, she is so well-rounded, and yet that kind of gets pushed to the side. And yeah, I just think it's interesting that maybe even not consciously, but like subconsciously, women feel like they need to be everything all of the time.
You have to be perfect on all fronts.
Yeah, when men can just pick like something they like, so they can be smart, or they can be really funny, or they can be like class clowns whenever girls.
Well, that was the thing with the bridge. This is what we're circling back to every day of my life. You know, he was funny, so it was fine.
I'd much rather have a conversation with your friend who's well-rounded than, even if I was interested in engineering, because imagine one of those guys is interested in engineering trying to explain engineering to someone who's not interested.
Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense.
Your friend would be able to do it fine.
I remember all my first seminars at uni. I studied politics, so...
Rough.
you'd find instantly in these rooms, the only people talking would be men, and there'd be one token girl. that would be speaking, and there'd be people that would be rolling her eyes or like thinking, and you'd even find yourself slipping into it of like, oh, she's a bit gobby, and they'd be like, oh no, that's she's anti-feminist, just she's just she's speaking not. And she's thinking the same things I'm thinking, and I should be doing that, why aren't I doing that?
I imagine in politics is very opinion based,
which makes it hard because you can't sit there and be confident and say you're right about the answer. So that's the whole thing about being right or wrong. But when you can't be right or wrong, it's like, well, why does my opinion matter at all? But the breakthrough for me happened at some point in second year because I was sat there in the seminar and I used to get really frustrated in seminars because I was like, am I just stupid? Because I do well in the essays, but I just can't speak in the seminars. I was like, I can't bring myself to say anything. Do I not know anything? These people know like every law and every constitution and every like event that's ever happened. Why don't I know? And I was sat there in a discussion group once in a seminar. The men in the group spoke loads. And then I was sort of like, I'm going to test this. I just started saying things. They weren't true. I just started saying things. And they went like, yes, definitely. And I'm going to elaborate on that. And I was like, okay, wait, no, so we're all making it up. Yeah. It's fine.
If you just make it up louder.
If you, in your little seminar group, just start saying things, people will nod. And you'll realise no one knows what they're talking about. They're just more confident in saying it.
That's
even if
really
it's wrong.
Interesting.
And that was revolutionary for me.
Yeah, that's like a little social experiment that you did by yourself. That's a little confidence gap social experiment that you did.
And then you start to kind of, if you start just saying the wrong thing and realizing that no one necessarily knows, or even if you're wrong, the world doesn't end. It doesn't matter. I don't want this to turn into like blaming individual women for not speaking because I've been there, done that. It's horrible.
I don't think that's the problem.
That's not the problem. But in terms of like how to deal with it on an individual basis, just start getting it wrong. Because like the world doesn't end, people will nod and think you're right anyway. Yeah. And then I did find a bit more confidence. I started being like, okay, I'm going to say at least one thing in this seminar. If it's one thing, I'm just going to say one thing. There was a marked difference though, because I did take a module in third year that was in, there was one guy in the room.
Slow.
Everyone else was female. And that's how it should be.
Yep.
The discussions were so polite, because we used to do debates and stuff. The ones we did in that module were so unbelievably polite, because someone would finish a point and be like, oh no, what were you going to say? Oh no, what were you going to say? Oh, sorry, could you just repeat that? Because I wasn't quite sure. Oh no, I must have misunderstood you. Like, it was all very exclamation mark at the end of an email vibe.
Yeah.
But in a really nice way.
But that's sometimes what you need.
So maybe it's not...
I bet everyone's a bit nervous, because if you've all been in seminars where I know it's all men speaking, and then all of a sudden it's a space where you're all allowed to speak, then you're going to behave how you sort of want to be treated, I guess.
Yeah, and then that kind of goes back to the fact of, like, we don't have to harden ourselves to be taken seriously, or we shouldn't have to harden ourselves to be taken seriously, because actually being that bit more enthusiastic and whatever doesn't have to be seen as a bad thing. Like, it's it also creates a nicer space if everyone is being like a bit more mindful, a bit more demure about what's going on in the room.
Genuinely though, because like, then it starts to switch in your head. Like, maybe the problem isn't that I'm not assertive enough. Maybe the problem is that I'm looking at what makes someone worth listening to. Am I getting that wrong? Because I feel like the default of like a leader is very like aggressive, full stops at the end of emails. Man, is it that bad to be excited about things? You know what I mean?
And supportive and
supportive
of people.
When we were planning the episode, we were talking about like, what do we do about it? Like, the difference, and how do we deal with it, and what should we do? And it's hard. But I think there's obviously things that, like, we're talking about microfeminisms.
Yeah.
So
if you, like, when sending an email, going back to this, like, and you're addressing it to multiple people, you put like the women's names first instead of the men's names, or I don't know, you just make a conscious effort not to like assume that a doctor's going to be a man, or like, or you use like she her pronouns for things that would typically be like he him pronouns. So like, someone went, oh, I went to the doctor, and you say, what did she say?
Yeah,
instead of like, oh, what did he say? And you don't even realize that you're
the
doing
bosses.
It
it's always, oh, what's your boss, what's he like?
Yeah,
it's, no, not necessarily.
And I guess if we're sort of going back to like how this all started for all of us in that language as we children, then trying to gradually chip away at that language now in the real world, because there is a default, and that default doesn't look like us. So it's a shame that we have to put energy into something, but that little tiny bit of flipping that in language maybe could make a real difference to, if not us, the younger generation coming in.
Yeah, I think definitely we kind of all think that it's a taught thing more than anything else, and a bit of a systemic thing, and it's hard. Like, you obviously don't want to take something big like that and put it on yourself for sorting it out. Like, that's definitely not something that is possible. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't fix the world in, like, one person as much as we'd like to. But, yeah, I definitely think there are little things that we can do just, like, every day to make our own confidence go up.
Even doing this and chatting to other women and just kind of opening that space. And we're saying about this, you know, those seminars and situations where there are majority women in the room, where we all feel more comfortable to speak. How do we make all situations feel comfortable for everyone to speak in those rooms?
Yeah.
And maybe it requires a bit of a feminine touch that's been undervalued.
Yeah. And just being aware of it as well is so powerful, because as long as if you have the knowledge that it's going on and then you can clock when it's going on, you're so much more likely to want to step up and say something or contribute to a conversation. And that's kind of why we chose this topic, I guess.
The main, like, underlying, for sure, like, individual takeaway that I've been gradually trying to learn over the past 3 years, especially while I've been at uni, and I hope that it's something that everyone kind of latches onto, is that kind of thing of take the blame off yourself a little bit, because I spend so much time feeling bad about not speaking up or feeling bad about not being as confident as the other men in the room. And it's just kind of like, it's not necessarily you.
Like, it's not
an inherent
really.
Thing to you. Stop second guessing yourself about how clever you are, how yeah. perfect you're being perceived, or how you look, or like all this other stuff. Like, they don't do it.
No.
So yeah. why should we? And it's a ball ache that we have to go and unpick this mentality that we've been gifted. Thank you. Hashtag yeah. gifted.
Not sponsored.
It's a shame. It's a real shame. But I think the quicker we all try and unpick it and help each other unpick it, just stuff like if your female friend is sat there being like beating themselves up over like not get, like getting a 68 instead of a 70, they're beating themselves up about it. Like, you're not dumb.
Called out.
You know what I mean? We've all been there. Yeah, I've been there.
I've been
you know
there.
What I mean? Like, stop beating yourself up about it.
Yeah.
You've done really well. And that can be the end of it. There's no if or buts. There's no justify. I always, like, you always justify why you succeed. Mm-hmm. And you always have to justify why you're in the room. And you can't just be in the room. Let's all just be in the room.
Let's be in the room.
Yeah.
And let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
So we've had a lovely little chat about the confidence gap. And I feel like we all feel a bit more enlightened and refreshed. It's been nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel we've vented. It's good. Now, obviously, if you listening and you're thinking, like, this is me, or you've had some sort of experience with this confidence gap, or you have something we've not covered that you think is relevant to this conversation, this is an open conversation. We're going to talk about it. We'd love to hear from you. I've got an Instagram. You can message us on there. And just, you know, let us know your thoughts. Let us know what you think. Even if you completely disagree with us. Open discussion. We want to know.
But next week, we're going to be talking about mansplaining. We're going to be mansplaining no, to you. Like, and can't wait.
This is a delicate situation.
I do. And I think when we tell people about it, they're going to go, oh, you're just going to be talking badly about us for an hour. And it's like, no, we're not. We're just going to explain our situation and how you might not even think you're not doing it on purpose. I'm sorry.
Yeah, even the sensitive side of, like, yeah. you don't understand, like, I'm just trying to bring it to light to you because I don't think you mean to. No.
And we just want to talk about it.
We want to talk. We know what? Confidence gap, mansplaining, these are taboo topics that people get very sensitive about and misunderstand often. But they affect real people every single day. So you know what we're going to do? What are we going to do?
We're going to talk about it.
We're going to talk about it. Okay, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.